Julian, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. Thanks for joining us here on The Daily. Now, looking at the current situation in Syria, why is Russia pulling its troops out now? And do we know if they still intend to continue providing air support?
Well, that's a very good question. Russia's always the enigmatic power in these sorts of events, and trying to work out what Russia's doing and why is a great game, you know, of Western strategists for a long time. We don't really know exactly, why Russia pulled out as quickly and as suddenly and as seemingly mysteriously as it has. There's been lots of speculation that it might be because Russia's capacity as a military power is weaker than many assumed it was, or the Russians perhaps like to present it as. I think it's more likely that they've pulled out because really they've achieved their aims in the campaign. But the interesting question is, what exactly were those aims? And I think that they're a little bit different to what many of us perhaps think that they might be. We assume that the aims of sending troops into somewhere like Syria would be pretty much entirely military aims, trying to, as you say, or said before, you know, protect and defend their ally, Assad. But I think one of their other aims really was to re-enter Russia forcefully back into the community of nations who are engaged in diplomacy in the Middle East and further afield. And really, after Russia's ostracism, after its forceful annexure of the Crimea a couple of years ago, it really was on the outer in terms of it had sanctions against it. The West wasn't really dealing with it. America wasn't approaching it for discussions on many of these issues, such as security in the Middle East. And now Russia's come in suddenly, and it's been able to defend Assad from all sorts of different rebel forces, and it's been able to now pull out, having once again reinserted itself back into the diplomatic group of nations, taken seriously by all partners in the region as a great power, and now it can get ready for the peace talks where its man in Syria, Assad, can be pretty hopeful that his regime will survive whatever's going to happen. That certainly wasn't the case before Russia came in. They have said that they will keep their Air Force base as well as their port facilities in Syria, so imagine that they will be staying there, as you say, as air power to defend Assad if they feel he needs to be defended, but more so just to keep the pressure on the diplomatic table so that all sides know that Assad needs to be treated with somewhat with respect simply because the Russians are there behind with a big stick in their air force.
Well, it'd be a scary place to be, but inside of Putin's head, he's ex-KGB. He has this infamous strongman approach to politics. So you mentioned there, I mean, obviously the last thing Putin wants anybody seeing is Russia's military as weaker than anybody was anticipating. But that aspect of involving Russia back in the game in terms of global politics, how does this fit into his longer-term strategies?
Well, his strategy is all about credibility. It's about building up Russia's credibility amongst for Putin, first of all, amongst the Russians themselves, so he can remain in power. But then Russia's credibility amongst its immediate neighbours, who are the former Soviet Union states, both in Eastern Europe and in Central Asia, and then to build up its credibility around the world so it's taken seriously by other great powers like the United States and China and so on. And he's been doing that very, very successfully. In fact, there's a fair amount of Putin admiration going on around the world in various political and foreign policy circles. You said before it'd be a little bit crazy to be inside his head. Well, possibly it would be a bit crazy, but I think being inside the heads of most world leaders, certainly successful ones, would be a rather strange experience. And there are many in Washington and in Beijing and even in Canberra who look at Putin and really think that he's done a masterful job of re-establishing Russian credibility, in the sense that his war aims very much are diplomacy by other means. He'll go into Crimea, take it covertly, And then when he doesn't need to deny it anymore, he'll come out and it'll be a fait accompli. We've got Crimea now, there's nothing he can do about it. Same thing with Syria. He'll come in all of a sudden, say that he's going in to fight ISIS, but instead goes in to protect his ally, Assad, and now they're leaving. Well, suddenly, having once again sort of arm wrestled their way back into Middle Eastern politics. And so what's the end game here, or what's the biggest strategy for Putin? Well, Putin's made it very clear on a number of occasions in public speeches he's given that he is primarily concerned with the re-establishment of the great Russian state. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to try and bring back a Soviet Union type organization, but certainly he misses the Soviet Union. He would like it to come back. He's called its demise the greatest tragedy of the 20th century. And I think really what he's doing is he's muscling his own sphere of influence away from the West. So for Eastern Europe now, certainly Ukraine and Belarus are now Russian spheres of influence. Central Asia, down around Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and those countries, are certainly once again now Russian sphere of influence, as are the Caucasus after their mini war they had in Georgia some years ago. And now Russia's really, Putin's been able to really thrust Russia back into the Middle East and say, well, you know, we've been out of the Middle East for 30 or 40 years. We haven't done very much, but we're back. And we've got an ally in Syria, and he's our man, and so we're going to protect him. So the end game for Putin is greater Russian influence and credibility in the region, as it once again becomes, you know, a great power, is how Putin would see it.
You touched on Crimea there. The United States have announced that Russia withdrawing its forces from Syria is not going to have any impact on their decision not to lift sanctions against Moscow over their invasion of Ukraine. But is it going to have any other impacts on the Ukraine situation?
Well, that's the speculation. I think when we think about Russia's military moves as attempts to rebuild Russian credibility very successfully, and also attempts to try and leverage some more diplomatic room for Russia in the international community, then we've got to think that what Russia's done in Syria is a masterful stroke. It's really positioned itself as the main player, or one of the main players in the Syrian conflict, indispensable for any peace talks, and that gives Russia massive diplomatic leverage. It means it has power. And to think that it won't use that to get its own aims in the ongoing Ukrainian fallout, I think would be naive. I think most of us expect that some concessions will go Russia's way, even if those concessions really are just a grudging acknowledgement of the status quo by America and the West that, yes, indeed, Russia has now acquired Crimea and there's nothing anyone's going to do about it.
Mm. Well, Julian, thanks very much, man. Always enjoy talking about some of these issues with you. Do appreciate your time. Have a good one, mate.
All right.